This morning's Sunday School public reading has come from Psalm 64. And those of you that join us on our church website, many of you join us here in on our church website where we look at these particular psalms, and then I make a few comments. Psalm 64. Now, right off the bat, notice as I read just a few moments ago, we get the context. Verse 1, fear of the enemy. Verse 2, the wicked and workers of iniquity. Verse 3, these individuals that David calls the enemy are the wicked, are the workers of iniquity. He describes them. They have a mouth like a sword. Have you ever met someone whose words can actually dig into your heart, dig into your mind? They bend their bows to shoot their arrows. And notice, David here is not talking about a literal bow and arrow, though that could be the meaning. But he says, even bitter words. Beloved, sometimes our words, and maybe we've been in different churches, and when you're in different churches, like my family and I, being in the military, moving almost every 2.5 years or 3 years, we got to go to different churches in different states just by virtue of moving from A to B. And then you begin to see all different kinds of churches. You have all different kinds of pastors. You have all different kinds of teachers. And you also have different kinds of members. And sometimes those members can get under your skin. And David here is saying that these enemies of his, their words were more painful and more deadlier than an arrow. That's what he's saying in verse 3. Verse 4, he goes further. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Now the perfect here refers to David. Before his God. Now he was not sinlessly perfect, because we know of David's blemishes and his pimples in his life. But when it came for David's overall behavior, he walked as perfect as he could before his God. Now we're not making any excuses for David's sin and his bloodshed. He was a very bloody man. He was an excellent warrior, and thus he shed a lot of blood. That's why he couldn't build the first temple. David wanted to build that first temple. And God told Nathan the prophet to go back and say, David, that's a good idea, but you're a man of bloody hands. Your son Solomon will build the temple, not you. So David paid for that. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. So David here is saying that these people, these enemies, these workers of iniquity, these wicked people, they did everything that they could to destroy his character and reputation with words. You know, beloved, sometimes our people's very vindictive words can be more powerful than a bullet or a sword or a dagger plunged into someone's chest. Words, beloved, can be very, very damaging and deadly. Words can also give encouragement. We use words to denote love for each other. I love you, you're sweet, you're precious, you look beautiful. And then there are times we can take the same mouth, the same tongue, and then we can chop people down into sawdust. That's what David here is saying, his enemies. Notice verse 5. What else does he say? They encourage themselves in an evil manner. So whoever David at this point in his life is now describing to you and I centuries later, these individuals apparently must have a sit-down session. Maybe they're playing cards or having a few drinks. And they conspire all the more wickedness against David. They try to come up with all kinds of tricks. And when I look at verse 5, I think of the people that's in Congress. How these politicians that we vote for, we cast our vote, they go to D.C., and then they forget us. And when they start polarizing each other with vindictive words, and how some political people go behind a closed door to even plot and to plan the downfall of someone whom they hate. They conspire. Notice, they commune of lying snares privily, setting a trap. They say, now notice verse 5, notice what these enemies of David says, who shall see them? And so these people go out of their way to form a trap, or like a snare. Think of digging up a hole, all right? And then you cover the hole with a bunch of leaves, as if there's nothing there. And then this person, unbeknownst to them, doesn't know that there's a trap. And so they continue to walk, and the weight of their body goes right down because there's nothing there but a hole, but it's been disguised as if there's something there. And they drop into the pit. David's enemies are saying, here's all the traps. And they say, who's going to be able to see them? They're all hid. They're camouflaged. Verse 6, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. They go so far, beloved, as to go to the library and find a book, 1,000 Ways to Do Your Enemy In. That's what he's saying. They go out of their way to find all kinds of devices and tricks and traps to trip somebody up. But the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. What does that mean when he says the heart is deep? He's not talking about their organ in their chest, but their wickedness and their contrivings are so deep, fathomable. It's almost like they got an index from A to Z, 1,002 ways to destroy a person. Now that sounds awfully gloomy, would you say? You don't feel like getting out of bed right now because you might meet one of your enemies down the street. But every time you find David's psalm, most of his psalm starts off very pessimistically, very down in the dumps. But then the psalm does the 180, and watch the 180. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. So the first six verses, he's simply bemoaning, he's crying, he's wailing. Okay, he's like a little teenager, wah, wah, wah. Here he is, God this, look at this, the enemies, this, the traps, this. And then he catches himself. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. David, in his moment of whining, catches himself all the time in his psalms. And then he does the reversal. He lifts himself out of that pit of despondency, and he refocuses his attention not on the enemies, even though they're there and they're real. They're very real. He focuses on the God who is real, but who is sovereign even over David's enemies. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. How do we use that in modern English? They're going to eat their own words. That's how you would say that if you want to paraphrase that verse 8. So they shall make their own tongue fall upon themselves. They're going to eat their own words. Or you can also say the very traps that they laid out for David, God is going to allow them to fall into the hole that they dug for David. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear, and shall declare the work of God. When a child of God sees God vindicate them. And there are times and seasons, beloved, that people are going to come after you because of your faith. They're going to say all things about you that are not true. They're going to put words in your mouth that you never said. They're going to accuse you of acts that you never did. And in the end, God is able to turn those tables around and judge your enemies. Let God judge them. We don't need to take up our fists. We don't need to take up a bat. We don't even need to say anything to our enemies. We just simply pray them into God's hands. Lord, you got two choices, Lord. It's up to you. Save them or destroy them. And beloved, I will confess to you here this morning that in the past, a few of my enemies on the job, Lord, either bring them to salvation or you take care of them. They're out of my hands. I place them in yours. Vengeance is yours, not mine. That's what David here is saying. verse 9, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doings. And then notice verse 10. Notice the change from verse 1 to verse 10. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. Well, my word, the first six verses, David, you've been whining and moaning. Now you're telling me, as a righteous man, you're going to be glad in the Lord? Yes. And shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. So you look at the first six verses, David's whining, he's complaining. And beloved, there's nothing wrong in going to your God to complain and to whine. That's what you find in the Psalms. That's not an unholy thing, to simply unload to God on how you're feeling because of this person or that person or this situation. That's not a problem when it comes to Scripture. But then notice how David flips. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. Well, may God choose to bless his word.